From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. In Iraq today, at least 85 people were killed in a series of bombings in the northern city of Kirkuk. It's another indication that insurgents are attacking outside central Iraq, where a U.S. troop surge is underway in an attempt to impose greater security. The strategy is to crack down on insurgent sanctuaries around Baghdad. The aim is to reduce bombings and other mayhem in the capital. NPR's John Burnett recently embedded with the Sledgehammer Heavy Brigade Combat Team, part of the 3rd Infantry Division out of Fort Benning, Georgia. The unit has dug in along the Tigris River Delta, southeast of Baghdad.
Truck convoys filled with the things it takes to wage war in a distant land, generators, Gatorade, hand sanitizer, roar past in the darkness toward Baghdad. A tipster has alerted the army that a gas station on the highway outside the city of Nahrawan is being used to store explosives, or IEDs. A bomb-sniffing German shepherd named Gino is on the case. A filthy street cur wanders into the station and gets too close to the military canine.
Hey! Damn. If the dog ain't dead, you gotta kill the dog.
Nearby, 4 disconsolate Iraqis, the station's night guards, sit with hands flexi-cuffed behind their backs before an enormous American soldier bulging with battle gear.
He's been working here for a long time. Does he know anything about any IEDs possibly being underground here?
I said, I don't know. There's like guard. We have every night.
If he was a bad guy, where would he put IEDs?
They go like, مثلا انت اذا كنت لا سمح الله اذا كنت انسان مو زين
احنا ما نطلع بهاي الداخل
لا لا انت وين شوف
زين
I don't know.
Tom, thank you very much. Go send him back over there.
After 20 minutes of interrogation, the big soldier is convinced the frightened Iraqis either don't know or won't tell. They cut off the flexi-cuffs. Lieutenant Colonel John Kolaszewski, commander of the 3-1 Cav, steps forward and adopts a paternal tone. The Iraqis listen impassively.
All of us lose by the extremists blowing things up. We have to work together. You have to tell us where the bad people are.
One of the lessons learned in the past 4 years is that sometimes abusive behavior by U.S. troops, such as forced entry, wholesale detentions, and pointing guns at everybody, embitters Iraqis and helps recruit for the insurgency. With this latest phase of the war, the military says its soldiers will no longer act like occupiers. Commanders say they can already tell the difference. People are coming forward to volunteer information on bombs and arms caches.
In the early stages, we would kick in doors and we would break things and we would immediately just, say, well, we're sorry, and then pull off.
Again, Lieutenant Colonel John Kolaszewski.
The majority of the people understand that we treat everybody with dignity and respect, but there are cases where we have to detain them. So it is a delicate balance.
But during 5 days with the Sledgehammer Brigade, actions by combat troops were observed that are certain to deepen animosity among Iraqis.
Hey, tell them, right, that we need to get them to our hospital.
In Nahrawan, U.S. troops shot the wrong man when he ran from a house thought to belong to militants. He lay on the ground as soldiers bandaged his bloody arm and leg.
Hey, Jay.
Yes, sir.
Start translating. Do you understand
tell
what I'm saying?
Tell them to get to the hospital.
Okay.
A gathering crowd glowered at the troops. In 2 separate convoy incidents, U.S. Humvees rammed civilian vehicles, the first when an Iraqi sedan drove past a traffic blockade. In the second incident, a Humvee commander instructed his driver to clear a crowded intersection. The Humvee smashed into a minibus full of terrified passengers, causing considerable damage, in order to push it out of the way, while his gunner fired an M16 in the air to frighten other drivers. When informed of the incident at the intersection, Colonel Wayne Grigsby, commander of the 3,000-man Sledgehammer Brigade, said bullying is not authorized, and he would investigate.
Because that kind of stuff is what will get us in trouble, and it's a slippery slope with discipline and standards. On over here, we're trying to liberate and support and assist, and we make some of these people on the fence, they instantly become enemies, and they feed the insurgency.
Insurgents and militias had grown strong in the medium-sized cities and vegetable-growing villages in the Tigris Delta, owing to an absence of a sustained U.S. troop presence there. U.S. authorities suspect terrorists used them as bedroom communities, building bombs, and then commuting to work to blow things up in Baghdad. Now this region has become one of the newest battlefronts on the war map. The army has carved out a network of outposts close to insurgent strongholds. The idea is twofold: to aggressively engage the enemy and to live closer to the people whose trust is essential to winning the war.
The surge has allowed us to disrupt his butt.
Colonel Wayne Grigsby.
If he has to change his game and go to a different town, and we got a relationship with some good people in that town, those good people come back and say, hey, there's about four or five new guys came here with a bunch of trucks. Never seen them before. Really? Go get them.
One of the desolate new bases, surrounded by sand-filled blast barriers, is the aptly named Combat Outpost Assassins. Captain Arthur Magruder is commander.
Before we moved here, there weren't any mortar attacks. Now, getting it to be associated with us moving to this location, we knew that when we moved here, it was the best place for us to be to get after the insurgency within this area.
Here in this battle sector, it looks like classic guerrilla war. Americans have armor, artillery, air power, and infantry. Insurgents hit and run with AK-47 fire, mortars, rockets, suicide car bombs, and increasingly lethal roadside bombs. A chilling twist on the Iraqi art of explosive making is the deep buried bomb, an ammonium nitrate fertilizer charge, or an artillery shell dug in 2 or 3 feet below the surface. An area commander said one insurgent group was so brazen, they hired a local backhoe operator to dig a bomb trench. Captain Daryl Melton, commander of an outpost called Cache North, says deep buried bombs are powerful enough to disable a 32-ton Bradley fighting vehicle.
The other day I had two deep buried IEDs go off on two Bradleys almost simultaneously. One was about 300 pounds worth of explosives underneath the ground that, as a Bradley was traveling along the road, it hit the IED. It literally picked the Bradley up and turned it sideways.
The White House and Pentagon frequently describe a monochromatic enemy in Iraq, Al-Qaeda. Critics say it's an attempt to rally a war-weary United States against a known foe. East of the Tigris, the picture is much more complex. Shiite militias are expelling Sunnis. Along the river, Sunni bands of radical pro-Saddamists are killing each other and Shias. Al-Qaeda in Iraq is here as well, fighting to dominate everyone else. But Lieutenant Patrick Geiger, a platoon leader at Combat Outpost Cahill, says Al-Qaeda is only one of many.
He's a very big player, very influential, but there's other factions too. It's not just like, you know, coalition forces versus Al-Qaeda. There's a lot of other groups in the area.
When the Americans showed up to establish bases, everyone turned their guns on the new interlopers. The Arab proverb holds that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. One infantryman says where he is, it's more like the enemy of my enemy is my enemy. John Burnett, NPR News, Baghdad.